You are listening to episode 40 of the Soulful Podcast. Be brave, be bold, be you with Amy Hutton. Welcome to the Soulful Podcast. I am your host, Megan Harmony, a champion at overcoming the tough stuff and enjoying life while rising above it. Soulful living means getting to a place of ease and comfort, no matter what's happening around you. It is waking up excited about what adventures you will go on. It's connecting to the power within you as your source of strength, grace, and security. It's being uncomfortable during growth spurts and leaning into the stretch. Each week, I will share with you about my journey and the experiences I have had. I'll offer you hope and inspiration that it is possible to live a full life, even when the you-know-what is hitting the fan. I believe that love is a language we can all understand, and I want to inspire you to trust and believe in yourself. Your soul is hungry for more. Lean in to get soul full. I want to take a minute to thank all essential workers. Everyone that works in the hospitals and the doctors, as well as everyone that's working in the grocery stores and the chains like Walmart and things like that. I think it's important that we acknowledge these people, and why this is so important in this episode is because Amy's job that she does requires her to be an essential worker. And we talk a little bit about that throughout the episode, but I also want to thank Amy for the work that she does with the vulnerable populations. And just take a minute at the beginning of the episode to just pause and hold space for every essential worker on the planet. Send them loving energy. And heartfelt gratitude. We see you, we thank you, and we appreciate you. Amy Hutton is a true miracle survivor. Being born 3 months early was just the start of the challenges Amy has overcome in her lifetime. Hailing from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, as a youth diversity advisor, Amy coaches adult leaders of youth on how to create safe spaces for girls and LGBTQ plus youth to show up and be themselves. As a 5-time international best-selling author, compiler, Amy shares hope, healing, and inspiration through her writing. She was a finalist for the International FemTor Awards 2015 for eWomen Network in the category of Business Matchmaker from Dallas, Texas, USA. Being one of 6 in North America and the only Canadian. In 2017, Amy was awarded the Peace and Friendship Award by Diversity Magazine in Alberta for being one who celebrates, accepts, and learns from the Indigenous people of Canada. I'm so grateful to have Amy with us today. Please join me for this week's episode. Happy Monday, everyone, and welcome to the Soulful Podcast. I am over the moon excited today because I have my friend Amy visiting us from the beautiful lands of Alberta. And welcome to the show, Amy.
Thanks, Megan. I'm so happy to be here on this partly cloudy day.
Well, we've got sun here in Ontario, but lots of wind. So,
yeah.
The first question I want to ask you, Amy, is what is your go-to boost your spirits song that just gets you in a really good mood?
Oh, gosh, I have lots of them. However, one that I wish I could remember the title of it right now, but it's a song from like the 80s that when I'm hearing it, when I'm driving, my steering wheel literally turns into a drum kit.
Oh, that's amazing.
I totally bop along to the song, and it'll come to me at some point, maybe during our conversation. But yeah, it's a really fun, get you up and dancing and bopping, and just I want to dance, but I'm in my car most of the time when I hear it. But it's a awesome, really fun song, which is an upbeat and a really good drum, like there's a really good drum part to it. So that's what I kind of like, my steering wheel turns into the drum.
That's awesome. I think we all have, or hopefully, I should say, I hope we all have a song like that, that gets our soul just beating to the beat of the drum. Because you need songs like that to just fuel you and get you going.
Yeah.
What is your favorite childhood memory?
Huh. Favorite childhood memory. Being a Girl Guide camp, being at summer camp.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of good memories there, I bet.
Oh, totally.
That just made my heart excited. I didn't do Girl Guides. I did Sparkies with, but it's same idea. And yeah, there's a lot of fond memories there and just good experiences, right? And a lot of life skills too, which is so important because you don't really learn those anywhere else.
No, totally. Yeah.
That's awesome. Who inspires you the most?
Oh, so many people inspire me. like there's people who I don't know, like I've never met them. Mm-hmm. Like for example, the children's author, J.K. Rowling, she inspires me, with what her story and how she went through what she went through to do how she did Harry Potter and all her books. And then, you know, people that I do know, like both my grandmothers, because our generation, our grandparents, most of them were during wartime. So how my grandma and my nanny got through all that, my nanny in particular, because she's actually from England. So she lived when she was married, was part of it in England and that sort of a thing. And also more recently, like my coach, who you also know who she is, Marlo Ellis, she always inspires me. She's always able to make me feel really good about myself and helps me feel that I can do things and so on. And her story is very powerful as well. So that's who inspires me.
Definitely. Thanks for sharing that, Amy. I think it's so important to have people that we don't really know that we've just kind of seen in the world, as well as people that are close to us that, like you said, can inspire us and uplift us and make us feel really good about ourselves. And I'm so glad you have that. And Marlo, it's so important to have mentors and coaches like that who uplift us when we're unsure of ourselves, right?
Yeah.
So glad you have that. And it's good to have that inspiration too, right? Because it gives us something to kind of strive towards and like, I can do this too, right? Which I know you do with the young girls you work with. So
yeah.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
I foresee myself, the intention I've set is to be able to travel around the world and facilitate groups of youth and with the youth and their leaders on how to have those safe spaces and give everybody in the room, youth and leaders, tools that they can implement like straight away when I leave the building kind of thing, and give them that hope, that inspiration that like they may be going through some trying times, yet look for those safe spaces, those places where you can just be yourself and, as Brené Brown says, take that armor off. Right. And just be yourself.
Definitely. Because it's so important to be able to be yourself and find those safe spaces. And I'm so glad I can totally picture you flying around the world, uplifting the youth and encouraging them to be themselves in their safe space. Like I can understand why that's what you want to be when you grow up, because I can totally see you doing that. And you'll give so many young people maybe a chance they might not have had otherwise. So I love that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What does it mean to you to live a soulful life?
Soulful life. I'm going to take that and twist the words a tiny bit. Yeah. And for me, that's about living my real brave self. And living as I am, who I am, and, you know, being happy and comfortable in that. And that's interesting, the word just came to me is success, yet success in in all areas. Like, yes, there's success with money and, and that sort of thing, but also success in how I'm feeling about myself and how I'm carrying myself in the world, and so on and so forth.
Lovely. I love that you shared the word that came in, because that's listening to your real true self, right? Real brave self, but also that you defined that a bit, because I think oftentimes we have to redefine words that we've kind of carried along with us our whole life, like the word success, because what I used to think success meant when I was working 12-hour shifts as a nurse, as opposed to what I believe and feel and know in my authentic or real brave self, success is today, is much different. And like you said, it's about happiness and how I'm carrying myself in the world and being authentic, right? And each individual person gets to define that for themselves. Nobody gets to tell you what you think success is. So that's very powerful. Thank you for sharing that with us.
You're welcome.
So I'm going to call out the elephant in the room at this time when we're recording, which is COVID-19 is going around the planet right now. It's a pandemic. There's quite a few things happening in each individual country with regards to promoting social distancing, things like that. What are you doing for yourself to not only deal with how you feel about COVID-19, but also for your community and just kind of keeping your hopes high and things like that? What are you doing regarding COVID-19 right now?
So COVID-19 is very real here in Calgary. If I don't really pay attention to the statistics, but I know Calgary is on the higher end of cases here in Alberta at the moment as we're recording this. I do work full-time during the day, and I work with adults living with developmental disabilities in the community. And for right now, the frontline staff, we've been working from home doing paperwork type things. And with the very strong possibility, and my name's on the list, that we would have to go into the group homes, because the group homes are 24/7. Yeah. And we're almost like an essential service, because they need to run. So that's that respect. And also with, I'm going to play with words again. I've been physically distancing. I haven't been social distancing. I haven't gone out much. If I have to, it's to the grocery, really. And I've been doing, across Canada, you can, in some stores, you can order your groceries online and then go pick them up.
Right.
And there is a bit of a longer wait time for it. However, I'm like, I'm fine doing that because I work with vulnerable people and I need to keep myself as healthy as possible to do that. So that's kind of what's going on in my world here in Calgary. And I'm also very grateful that if I need an essential food-wise or even pharmacy type, there's a Shoppers Drug Mart, which is a chain here in Canada that you can go to for pharmacy, but also where the one that I live in, like two blocks from walking distance, actually has a food mart attached to it. Oh, wow. So if I need, like, example, milk or bread or eggs and stuff, like, I know I can probably go up there and get what I need. And also that weird thing, that hoarding business of toilet paper.
Right, yeah.
I got some the last time I went up there, because I was, like, I don't hoard it because I live by myself. Like, it's just me here. Yeah. So 9 mega rolls of toilet paper that I picked up is going to last me at least a month and a half. I'm pretty sure on that. So that's what's going on here.
Nice. And I think it's key that you said about the difference between words, because I actually just said this on one live I did somewhere, which is, yes, they're asking us to social distance physically, but they're not asking us to social distance spiritually or emotionally. Right.
Yeah.
And we can still be so very connected to our family and our friends and our loved ones. Like, a friend of mine and I were talking about this the other day. Can you imagine if this had happened when our generation was kids, when, like, you had to call someone and if they didn't answer, hang up because there was no voicemail, like,
and then run the block or two to get to their house and, like, knock on the door.
Right. Yeah. Like, and we wouldn't be allowed to do that right now. So I think we're very blessed that this has happened. I mean, we're not blessed that it's happening, but we're blessed that it's happened when it has, when there's all these things like Skype and Zoom and Google Hangouts, where we can be in our houses connected to our Wi-Fi and still basically be in a coffee shop with somebody type of idea.
Yeah, like, totally.
It could have been a lot different
many years ago. So thank God it's happening in 2020 and not 1990, because would have probably been a much different story then.
Yes.
The next thing I'm going to ask you, Amy, is where we're going to get into the heart of your story. If you could share with the listeners a dark night of the soul, or a painful or heartbreaking experience that you went through in your life, and then kind of how you grew through that, if you could just share that with us, because that's kind of where they'll really get the gist of who Amy is and why she is the way she is. So,
yeah, for sure. Thank you for asking. So the story I'm going to share has to do about childhood. And funny you mentioned 1990. I'll get to that in a few minutes. So going to school is supposed to be a happy time, a place where kids meet new people, make new friends, and possibly even make friends that will last a lifetime. And the first couple of days of school are always going to be a little bit nervous because it's a new class, new teacher, maybe a couple new people in the classroom. And then that jittery nervousness goes away. And for me, grade 1, 2, 3, I was great. You know, I had the first day or two nerves and then on with school. In grade 3, though, the teachers were noticing that I was having some problems with my comprehension, with my math, my spelling, and reading ability and grammar type, like those core subjects that you need everywhere else in school. And the teachers had a meeting with my parents and said, we want to put Amy into special education and segregate her, isolate her, put her in this room with other kids with special needs, and let her learn that way. And my parents were like, thank you for asking, but no, we don't think she needs that. Yes, she's slower in learning. Yes, she's had challenges. Like, yes, she, you know, was born premature with, you know, born 3 months early with 1 pound, 12 ounces. Like, she has some catching up to do with that. And side note, that's actually been proven now scientifically that preemie babies do need to catch up to their brain.
Right.
So that's what I was doing. So they decided, instead of putting me in special education, they held me back a year. And I had to redo grade 3. And that's when the name calling started, because I was the new kid in their eyes in grade 3, because I didn't advance with my friends. I was stuck making new friends. So I was called names every day. I was laughed at. You know, when I opened my mouth to read, like when teachers ask you to read something from the book out loud in front of the room, I was laughed at then because I was slow, or I wasn't reading as fast, or whatever. And some of the names that the kids would call me relentlessly, and there's five that are really key that even sometimes today will play on my heart. And it's, I was called stupid, ugly, retarded, dumb, and a loser. And those words stuck for a long time. As I said, even sometimes on occasion today, they'll pop up. Right. However, so I didn't want to go to school because I was called those names. And in grade 7, it actually got even worse. In grade 7, I was in a grade 7-8 split. And it was gym time, and I was in the locker room, and someone came up behind me and grabbed me by my bra strap and flung me around the room. And I went flying into the bench and the where people hang up their things. Mm. And all I can remember hearing was the cackling of laughter and just people laughing and me hollering or screaming because I wasn't safe. I didn't feel good. I was scared. And when the teacher finally came in the room, looked at me, and I was like, I can't tell you who did this because they came up from behind me. And so from that moment on, I was even more afraid to go to school, and I didn't want to change in the locker room. I changed in the bathroom for gym time and things like that. And then in grade eight, the words kept coming, and I, you know, by that time though, too, I was figuring out that I want to be a lifeguard and be a swim instructor.
Yeah.
And I remember saying out loud one day that, oh, I have bronze medallion. So I must have been 13. I have bronze medallion tonight. And the kids in the class were like, oh, was that like minnows or tadpoles. Like, I bet you won't be a lifeguard and I don't think you can do it, and so on and so forth. And we'll come bug you if you are a lifeguard. And I found somewhat of a voice and I said, actually, no, when I am a lifeguard, you're going to have to listen to me. And because that's the rule.
Right.
And then Megan, the other, like, that's one of my safe spaces was the pool, like being in swimming, because I excelled there. The other place that I had as a safe space was being involved in Girl Guides. And I mentioned, you asked me a favorite memory, and yeah, Girl Guides for me was very pivotal and very helpful, supportive in my whole growing up life. So when a girl is 12, she becomes Pathfinder, and Pathfinders are ages 12 to 15. And there's something around the world that all Girl Guides and Girl Scouts celebrate called Thinking Day. And that's on February 22nd. And Girl Guides, Girl Scouts are strongly encouraged to wear part of your uniform or something on your person to show that you are involved in this worldwide organization. So on February 22nd, when I was in grade seven, put my uniform on and I went to school feeling very proud because I love being in Pathfinders. And the kids laughed. And I finally had had enough. And I remember coming out of the bathroom and they were laughing. And I looked at them and I said quite loudly, I might even yelled it, at least I have places to go and people to see after school. I just don't hang around the mall. And they were dumbfounded for, you know, 30 seconds, if that. And then they started laughing again. And the teacher came out of the hallway and she just kind of looked at me and looked at, you know, what was going on. And she didn't do anything. And this was 1990. So it's a different time period, right? Different things going on. Like, my grade 7 and 8 years were roughly between 1989 and 1990, spring 91. Like, I went to grade 9 in 1991. So it was very interesting. But with Pathfinders, like, I wasn't laughed at there. I was actually encouraged. I was smiled at. Like, our leader, Tracy, she was awesome. And she was very supportive and very encouraging. And it's really funny too, Megan, because the past, you know, 4 or 5 years, we've actually reconnected on Facebook. I found her. Yeah.
That's and awesome.
So we've made a connection again. And I asked her just a couple of weeks ago, because I was doing some homework. And I wrote to her and I was like, what do you remember of my emotional state? Like, what do you remember? Or can you remember anything from one way back then? Right. And she's like, Amy, you were actually really happy and really, like, you were confident. You were like, you seemed to be okay. Yeah. And I was thinking about that. And I'm like, yeah, I probably was, because I was probably overcompensating for being bullied in school. I wasn't being bullied in Pathfinder. So, hey, I can be happy. I can be vocal. I can say what I want to say, and so on and so forth. So that's my story of that dark night of the soul, and how I got out of it was letting others help me, like my Pathfinder leader, my Bronze Medallion, you know, my Bronze Cross teachers. I allowed help in as well. Like, I was given extra help in for my subject, for my studies in school. I was still pulled out of class to give extra support, but at least I got it and I was happy about getting that. And I just had to keep going, like putting one foot in front of the other. And slowly but surely, I had to believe in myself, because if I wanted to be a lifeguard, I knew I had to do it, or I wanted to believe in myself to go and do it.
Right.
So those are some ways on how I overcame all that in that time.
Yeah. And I think that's so important, right? That one, I think you make a very valid point, which kids can be very cruel, right? And they don't realize the effect it was having on you, right? Which, or maybe they do. I don't know. I'm not in their heads. I know I too had an experience, not the same, but that mean girl syndrome in grade 7. Right. And, to my understanding, that shifted a bit now, more where instead of, like, when we were kids, it was grade 7, 8, where it really got bad, even though it was bad for you the whole time. it's happening to girls younger and younger now. Like grade three, I heard last, is like they're starting this mean girl stuff, and it's just awful. But then you shared how you found things that you excelled at, that you enjoyed doing, which is so important. Like, and where you could be your real brave self, mm-hmm. like Pathfinders, and that it made my heart happy when you were talking about it, because the listeners can't see you. I can see you because we're on Zoom, but they're just going to hear you. But like, you are smiling from ear to ear when you're talking about your time in the pool and Pathfinders. And I think that's really important to find that, and also people that you were willing to let help you, like a community, right?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And interesting point, while we're talking about the mean girl aspect and bullying in general, I saw a post a few days ago about kids and school, and somehow the topic, the wording of bullying was in the post. And the person said something to the effect of, well, the teachers are probably glad because the bullying isn't happening anymore. And I commented, I'm like, actually, no, it's happening. It's just now all online. All on social media, all through text, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, like, and then that new thing called TikTok, which I haven't figured out yet.
I'm working on that too.
Yeah, it's still happening. So,
and yeah. I think that's a really valid point. Like, parents have to be aware that if your kids are on social media, they are at risk of being bullied. My daughter was severely bullied for quite a few years, and as she aged, that was the other thing. In the younger years, it was happening on the schoolyard because they didn't have devices yet. But as she's aged, it started happening over the social media too. And it's this fine line where you don't want to be monitoring everything your kid has going on. But in the same sense, you have to keep them safe because they say some really horrible things. Like just when you were sharing the horrible names they called you, I'm sure there was a lot of other things that were mean and nasty that were said. And then to physically grab you in the change room, I guess that doesn't necessarily happen over social media, but they do this other thing where they'll post horrible pictures or like, and spread yeah. them virally to everybody. And it still feels like a physical attack, right? So
yeah,
we really have to be mindful as parents and that of, you know, staying engaged with our kids and asking. And I think this would be the point where I would want to ask you kind of what you're doing to support the young girls of today's society, Amy, because I know what you're going to share about with us next is going to benefit anyone who finds their child is struggling.
Yeah, because of everything going on in the world, I have recently decided to actually bring back some online learning programs specifically for girls right now. Like, yes, I want to, you know, tweak it a bit and make it for both boys and girls. Yeah. However, I'm going step by step. And right now, all I got is my girl program stuff that I'm bringing back out from like the vault, so to speak. And it's all online. Either the lessons are sent out via email or an online platform that I'm in the process of getting organized. And, you know, it's subjects or topics that aren't being taught in school, because I know that to be true because the teachers aren't teaching it. When I've mentioned it to parents before and other caring adults about the topics, they're all like, holy crap, where were you when I was in grade 4? Where were you when I was in grade 5, 6, or 7? And that's where I go into my story. So the topics, for example, and there's two sections. So there's a tween section, and it's for the 11, 12, 13, 14. Okay. And those topics are about being brave, about being bold, about being themselves, about being a happy helper. So that means, what is something you like to do that you can turn around and do it as a volunteer thing, even now online? Like, how can you get involved with an organization? Like, I remember working with somebody in person for 9 weeks, and they were like, you know, I like animals. So I said, okay, let's jump on the internet and do a bit of research in your community of how you could, you know, do some volunteer work or do some helping that way. Yes, be a happy helper, be a mover, as I call it. And that's the, how are you going to keep yourself active? physically active. And I don't mean, go run around the track 5 million times at the gym or at your school, but how are you just going to be moving your body in this time, especially because a lot of kids right now, probably still today, are not at school. So how are you going to stay active in your house? Are you going to, create a dance routine? Or are you going to, if you like yoga, if you're going to do yoga, are you going to, what are you going to do? And there's also another subject about dreams and goals. And this is actually one topic I love doing in person or online in a group setting with groups of girls, like say for Girl Guides, for example, or a youth group, coming in and doing it. But it also was an online module that it's literally get a big piece of paper and crayons and markers and pencil crayons and whatever, and draw think of a dream board or a vision board. Like I have one back over there that I know your listeners can't see, but there's one over there.
Yeah, I can see it.
But draw it out. Yeah, you can see it. Draw it out and draw what you want to do in 15, 20 years and then have discussion. So that's more the tween age. And then for the teenagers, there is overlap. Like, yes, that dreams and goals module is there, the be brave, be bold. But then I also dive into, let's talk about healthy relationships. And let's talk about what love is and what love is not. And I go into that bit with them because they are a little bit older and dating is a lot more prevalent, when you're 16, 17, and 15 than you are when you're 11.
Right, exactly.
So that's kind of where that goes. So that's one way. And so that's the one way. The first way is the online learning platform. The second one I mentioned, actually, and Zoom is amazing and technology is amazing. And if you are a youth group leader or a coach or something, and you still are having your gatherings through this way, online, have me come in as a special presenter, guest, and do a workshop virtually with the group. So example, the Dreams and Goals one, which is quite popular. I've done it 2 or 3 times with girls in South Africa with an organization there. Yep. And then another group that I actually need to follow up with, because I think it's coming again soon, in Kenya, and doing it again with girls in Kenya. And because of their resources, they don't have, I know the girls in Kenya didn't have paper and pencil and crayon and whatnot. So what I did with them is I had them close their eyes and I walked them through a little meditation visualization of what they want to do and so on. And then instead of in the workshop, what we would do is every girl would take a turn and share their poster with me and with everybody else. And then with the girls who don't have that, what I had them do was still tell me their dreams and their goals without showing me the piece of paper.
Right.
So that's an example, the second example of how I can still serve and support girls and youth who are still having their gatherings just online. And then the third thing is if you are an adult leader, coach, and you want support on how to facilitate your team, how to facilitate your group to be together, I have an actual training program for adult leaders on how to do all these activities themselves.
Okay.
So they learn with me for, it can be a 3-week, it can be 6 weeks, or it can even be, if you want full dive in, I want the facilitator full program, it's 6 months. Okay. And they can dive in and take, get the coaching, the training, because what I'm doing for them is I'm pouring into them my 20 years experience.
Right.
Of working with youth in a different way, different variety, and then teaching them everything I've done. And it's a pretty powerful, I've had a lady go through it and she's like, this is so beneficial. Like she can use this. She's like, I can use this with my kids.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, you can. So there's many modalities in many areas that the facilitator program can be used, because it comes down to really simple things. Like another activity I do that I can do online as well, when I've gone into Girl Guide units, is I teach about respectful communication, conflict resolution, and kindness all in one.
Right.
And it's an activity that I called SALT, S-A-L-T.
Yeah.
And it's a communication tool and a conflict resolution tool that kids get and they understand it. Because each letter stands for something. It's right. Stop. Yeah. Stop, ask, listen, talk.
Okay. And kids get that.
And we work through that and they get it. Yeah. I was at a brownie unit. So they're younger even. Their brownies are 7 and 8 years old. Yeah. And I was teaching that. And then a couple weeks later, I followed up with my friend who was the brown owl at the time. And I said, how are things going? Like, have you seen any shifts or changes or feedback or whatever? And she said, yeah, one of the moms came and dropped off her daughter and said, by the way, my daughter, the brownie, is yeah. teaching her sister, who's a spark, so 5 and 6 years old, teaching that SALT thing to my daughter.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's really simple that the kids get. And yeah, so those are the three ways.
Wonderful.
That people can work with me, the one-on-one online learning platform, which is 9 weeks. That's all online, with the option to have a Zoom call with me to check in and so on, with upgrades and whatnot. Then the second one is if you are a group leader, coach, pastor, Girl Guide leader, you know, whatever, Boy Scout leader, and you want to have someone come in and do a workshop through Zoom or whatever the online platform video is to do that. And then the third thing is for the adult leaders who want that extra support, who want that training, that specialized, dialed in, let's get you going so you can create an amazing group with the people you support.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Amy. Hopefully, if anybody's interested, there will be links to reach Amy in different ways and to check out the programs. That'll all be in the show notes, so you can definitely look there. At this time, Amy, I just want to thank you so much for joining us on the podcast this week. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I'm going to just ask you to leave the audience with one word of wisdom or gem or something that you just think is really important, that if all they took away this today was that, what would it be?
Yeah, I've been kind of thinking about this. And with the way the world is right now and what's going on, what I want to encourage your listeners to do is to have kindness and gratitude. Like, it is so important. A week or two ago, I actually did a quick walk up to the Shoppers Drug Mart to pick up a couple of things. And I was saying thank you to the ladies who were working there. They were restocking shelves. And I'm like, thank you. And they're like, oh my gosh, yeah, thank you. Like, thank you for noticing. Thank you for acknowledging what we're doing. And like, yeah, because kindness matters. And that also shows the youth that you live with, your daughters or sons or nieces, nephews, whatever's, that kindness matters and it's good to spread that.
Definitely. I can't even, that's it. Mic drop right there. The kindness matters, right? Like, I believe, and I've been saying this in all the different things I've been doing lately, that kindness and love are going to be what heals the world, right? And so I love that you said thank you to the people at the store, because there's a lot of them not getting thank yous right now because the shelves don't have what people want and stuff like that. But humanity is showing up as well. People like yourself are showing up and saying thank you and keeping their distance and things like that. So so thank you so much for being on the show with us, Amy, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great day, everyone.
Before you go, I want to take this opportunity to invite you to join us in the sacred community, Rebel Souls Unleashed Facebook group. It's a lot of fun in there, and we're really building a strong community of people and souls coming together to really support one another, encourage one another, and just light the world on fire with love. So if you're interested, come join us. Until we meet again, lean in to get soulful. Thank you for meeting me soul to soul today on the Soulful Podcast. If this episode connected with you and you feel called to, please share it with your friends and family so they can feel the love as well. Also, don't forget to hit subscribe on your podcast player so you get notified when new episodes drop.
please leave a rating and comment so I know what's touching your soul the most and can bring you more of what you long for. If you have suggestions for topics or would like me to speak at your event, please connect with me at soulfullsobriety@gmail.com. Thank you for your love and support in helping me connect with more souls to remind them they are divine, capable, and loved. You're the best. Go out looking at the world through the lens of love.